close. Good morning once again. It is an absolute pleasure to be with you here in Golders Green at Start Your Day of the Torah Way. You may remember that the last time I was here, I told you a chiddush which I had come up with, and today I'm going to share with you another. But I think before I say a chiddush, there's a shtick Torah, there's a little Torah hashkofa which has to be established first. And that is, you'll find this in Michtam Eliyahu, in Chelik Dalad, and it's in page 32. Here the essay is called Torah, and it's got a subtitle, Tefillah, Torah v'Anochius. So Anochius is the sense of I, the sense of ego, which of course, as we all know, is the source of everything that goes wrong with a human being. If you think that Koicha v'otzem yodi, I do things, it's me, etc., then you're in serious trouble. Of course, we have a solution for being in serious trouble with your Yetzirah getting to you, particularly in one source, which is on the sense of self. If you consider it, incidentally, just as a slight aside, the sense of self is inevitable, and Rabbi Dessner says this here, but it's inevitable for anybody who exists. Interesting question. Do Malachim have a sense of self? Do they have Bechira? The answer is yes. A very simple raya. Yeah. The Rabbanu Shalom says to the Malachim, Nase Odem Betzalmenu, let us make man, who is the us, his base team. Yeah. What did they say? Gentlemen.
Don't.
They said don't.
Yeah, don't.
Nope.
Al Yevro.
Nope. That's not the first thing they said. The rabbi is, of course, correct. What's the first thing they said? Well, you just have to work it out logically. Hashem says, let us make man. What did they say? What's a man? There's never been one before. What's a man? So Hashem, Yisbarach, explains our koichas, our strengths, our milas. Ultimately, we can be way above them. On the other side of the coin, we can be so low as to rebel against Hashem Yisbarach. And that's when they said, as the rabbi points out, ridiculous, absolutely not. And he overrules them. But notice they have an opinion. They have a hashgofa. They have a sense of I. That's an interesting idea because, of course, this world is called Olam Hazeh. And then, of course, there's Olam Habo. As Rabbi Dessler again says, Olam is from Ayin Vav Lamed Mem, is from the root Ayin Lamed Mem, meaning hide or hidden. So here for Shtetzach, it's obvious why Hashem is hidden in this world. You can't see him. So why is it still called Olam in Olam Haba? Because even there, for Malachim, there's still a sense of individuality. And as long as there's a sense of individuality, there is a sense of perut, of separation between you and Hashem Yisborach, my Machshava, his Machshava, the source of Odom Arishin's hate. And therefore, if you exist, Mimela, you're going to have a sense of I. But that's a problem. But we have a refuah. We have a refuah, which is Barossi Yetzara, Barossi Loi Torah Tavlin. Okay. So this is what Rabbi Dessler says, which is very interesting. Limud Torah. Well, Limud Torah, which obviously is going to be the antidote. In fact, as I can't resist telling you, what somebody once asked from Eli Lapian, a tremendously interesting question. And the question went like this. If the Torah says, if the Talmud says that the only antidote for the Yetzer Hara is Torah, what about the non-Jews? The non-Jews do not have the Torah, and therefore they have no choice, by definition, they have no antidote for the sickness of the Yetzer Hara. So no matter how badly they behave, it's hardly their fault, because they don't have the medicine to cure it. So Rabbi Elias said a very scary thing. He says, when a Jew reaches the greatest heights, the highest heights, nobody can touch them. When a Jew, Rachmon al-Islan, reaches the lowest lows, sadly, we're outstanding there also. Hitler, Yamach Shaboy, managed to kill only 12 million people in his concentration camps. Stalin, according to most research, 50 million. Who was in charge of the project? So when a Jew reaches the lowest lows, also terrible. So that would solve the problem. Barossi Yetzirah, Barossi Lo Torah Tavlin, about the goyim, it's not fair. No, it's talking about Jewish Yetzirah. But the Reb Simcha Zissel says, if you look at the words, there's a certain, if you ask people, if you say that mimer, and you start that, people often finish it for you. Barosa, Barosa loy Torah Tavlin. They usually say Barosa Torah Tavlin. They miss out loy. So Rav Simcha Zissel and Or Hashas says, because it only works as a tikkun if it's loy, if it's something you make your antidote. But the Torah, without that kavona of taking the medicine for that function, as it were, misfires and can have the opposite effect. That's a scary idea. I love the fact people sing to me when I'm learning. Limud ha-Torah. Limud ha-Torah, mi'itach gisa, from the other side, learning Torah. L'chora nira she'elul hu lahagdil es anochi es ha'odam. It could be that limud ha-Torah, instead of curing your feeling of anochi, it could be marbing your feeling of anochi. Could it not? Suppose you have a gevaldig chiddush, and you come into the yeshiva, the Beis HaMedrash, as I did last time I was here, and I'm doing now, and you think, oh, Rabboisai, Hobecha Chidush, Gavaldi. You feel yourself swelling up. I remember the first time I saw one of my books, when I brought a book the first time. In fact, the first time I brought a book, they sent you what was in those days was called a galley, it's a little box, with, you know, the book all typeset the way it's going to appear. Now, of course, it's all in emails. I remember getting this. I remember dancing around the house and shouting to my late wife, I'm a book. Now, I've written two books, which I think I wrote L'Shem Shemayim, a translation of Shar B'Tochen V'Chovetz Levavos called Refuah Saleiv, which Baruch Hashem has helped lots of people, and another book which certainly has helped lots of people called The Little Book for Big Worries Dealing with Serious Illness. And I think that was the Shem Shemayim. It was written when somebody had a sick daughter with cancer. They knew my late wife passed away from cancer. They'd asked for an article. I'd written on the subject. My son said to me, Daddy, turn it into a book. That would be the most important book you'll have written at Adkan. And I did. And almost no month goes by without a complete stranger saying, thank you very much. That book got us through. My daddy was not well, and my mummy was not well, Rahman Aslan, the child wasn't well, I wasn't well. So there's a real geschmack in knowing that you've done a book, you've written a book that has helped really tens of thousands of people. But is there gaiva there? Of course there is. I just demonstrated it to you. Well, it wasn't actually. But when I saw the book in the stores, I was like, nice looking book. There's inevitably gaiva. So what do you do about that? Oh, we'll learn Torah, but what if the Torah that you're learning is the thing that feeds the gaiva? Then you're going to be in trouble. Obviously. Now, who was more holy than the Al Shulchan HaKodesh? After all, he's called HaKodesh. There's a Maisa told about the Al Shulchan HaKodesh, who, when he used to give the Al Shulchan HaKodesh, his parish in the Chumash that we have, is his Shabbos afternoon shirim, he used to say, before Shabbat Shulis. And written down afterwards, and eventually he gathered and became the parish of the Al Shulchan. He had them printed incidentally because somebody was stealing them and printing them themselves, claiming to be his own work. But of course, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Al-Shulchan was the Arizal. And there's a famous story that when he realized, he was his Gemara Rebbe. When the Arizal, he understood and realized was greater in Kabbalah than the Al-Shulchan HaKodesh was in Kabbalah, he famously wanted to learn the Arizal's Kabbalah. And the Arizal said to him, this is not your tachlis in this Gilgal. But the Al-Shulchan insisted, it's a famous story, he said, okay, I go with my Hasidim out from Sfas in the evenings to learn Kabbalah. Apparently they did this for some reason in the forest nearby. If you sit underneath a certain tree and you can stay awake, you can join me. So of course if you want something like that more than anything else, you're going to take matchsticks and stick them underneath your eyes. You want to make sure that you stay awake. And the Al-Shulchan sat there determined to stay awake, but of course he fell asleep because it was not his tachlis. That particular, of course, the Al-Shulchan wasn't a Makubo, but he learned the Kabbalah of the Rav Moshe Cordovero, not of the Arizal. But the Arizal was his Talmud in Gemara, and obviously in Drush, which Zecha was the Taklis of the Al-Shulchan. So there he was once in Shul, Shabbos afternoon, and he was saying his Chidushim. The Arizal said, every Chidush of the Al-Shulchan, and the Al-Shulchan is very Chidushtik, is very novel, very unique in his approach and his understanding of the Torah. He could see, said the Arizal, Molochim coming out of the being created from every Chiddush coming out of the Al-Shulchan's mouth. Once the Al-Shulchan said something, a wonderful Chiddush, and the Arizal got up and left the shul. When the Arizal got up and left the shul, his Chassidim left as well. But they asked him, Rebbe, why did you leave? He said, because when the Alshuch said that Kiddush, he had a shtick gaiva. He must have said, and we're talking the Madrig of the Alshuch, he must have thought to himself, that was good. I sometimes, when people come to me for advice, I should tell them, sometimes I give them advice, and as I'm saying it, with the ideas are popping into my mind, I sometimes say to myself, because I'm a huge onuf. In fact, Anibus was my first meter that I perfected. I sometimes say to myself, Yehudi Yoina, that was brilliant. Where did you get that from? Oh, interestingly, by the way, sometimes, maybe 6 months later, I find myself in the exact same matzav as the people who come to me for advice. Do I listen to my own advice and behave as I advise them to behave? Absolutely not, because then it's me. But sometimes you say something and you think to yourself, that was good. So the Alshuch must have said on his Madriga, that was good. Said the Arizal to his Chassidim, when he said that, all the Malachim left the shul. And if the Malachim are leaving the shul, I left the shul as well. And here's Tara, and he's bringing you a Chiddush, and it's Gevaldik. But there could be woven into the fabric of the Chiddush a thread or two of Gaiva, or even one thread of Gaiva is going to drive away a Malach. So here you are. Good. So Zehu, with that as an introduction, I would like to share my new Chiddush. And this and this is a Chiddush which requires your participation. Well, in actual fact, as they say in Israel, so that will not come out very well on the audio version of this, with sublanut, sublanut. Okay. So I want to see how this works for you, Raboisai. Here is a prayer we say three times a day. Moidim. Familiar with this? Okay. Moidim anachloch shatahu Hashem lekeinu b'lkei avosenu. La'olam va'ed. Sur chayinu malgin yishenu atahu l'dor v'dor nodol cho nespetz al-secho al chayinu hamasirim b'yadech. We give thanks that you gave us our lives. Ba'am nishmasena b'kudas loch. And the soul which you have deposited inside us. And for the miracles that are with us every day. And all the wonders that are with us all the time. Pause. And for the miracles that are with us every day. So gentlemen, over to you. I would like you to tell me. Now, this is just the beginning of a new day. It's just after Shacharis, and we've all taken off our tefillin just a few moments ago. So I'll rewind the tape. Yesterday, and even though, last week, I'm going to be generous. I want you to tell me a miracle that happened to you last week. Now, looking around here, I see there are B'nai Yeshiva, B'nai Torah, Talmidei Chachamim. So I know at least one of you is going to be frum. And you're going to say something to me like, I woke up this morning, or I can breathe. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant. We actually all know that that taka is a miracle. But it can't be talking about that because it says, you gave us life. That's covering the breathing stuff, the blood going around my veins. That's all. Is therefore talking about an ace, like an ace that you can recognize as an ace. So I would like you to tell me, I've given you a week. And you said this three times every day. So tell me which miracle happened to you last week, and don't try the frum stuff on me.
I had the grossness.
We'll just ignore that comment. He's related to me. I'm related to him. Anything else? Is that hand up there? Are you sure? Organizer? No. So I struggled with this. I mean, sometimes you just get a chap. And it's very, usually incidentally during davening, which is very disruptive to actually having any kavona, and particularly when the chap is in the tefillah itself. But what does this mean? And I thought about this, and I thought about this, and I thought about this. And then came the chiddush. So this is where the gaiva comes in, okay? And I've got a more effective cure, incidentally, than Barossi Yitzhara Barossi Loi Torah Davening. I'll tell you in a second. I think that the pshat is indeed a miracle, but there's a comma there. And when you put in the comma, then it all fits into place and you don't have the shaila at all. Ba'al nisecho, comma, should be called Yonimon. And for the miracles that you've done, which we keep with us all the time. Do you get it? But all of them, not about only section for calling Yonimon, because you couldn't suggest to me, you couldn't offer me one, and I don't blame you. Leaving aside the obvious ones at high Madriga. But rather, it's talking about Amisecho, should we call Yomi Mono? There's a comma. So my Chidush is a comma. What do you think? Good? Thank you. Now, the cure for Gaiva is finding that somebody else came up with it first. In this case, the Vilna Gaon. All right. If I have to share my Chidush with somebody. Yeah, but it's the Vilna Gaon. So I want to read to you what to say. Actually, this is the Vilna Gaon Seder. And you've got the pairs here of the Vilna Gaon. The Siach Yitzchok, and at the bottom, Mitzvah Hashem. Now, as you're all familiar with me, maybe somebody can find, I can't see at the beginning who the Mitzvah Hashem is, what exactly what it is. It's a Likud. But I'll read this to you because I think it's saying exactly what I'm trying to say. Vani Sekhet Vakol Yomimono, Vani Flasekhet Vasekhet Vakol Ace. Mitzvah Aseh, there is a Mitzvah Aseh, Lezochar Chasodav Yizborach Lizboinimeh. To remember the Chasodim that Hashem Yizborach has done for you. All these boiling, and to keep them in mind and to consider them. Shneimer says in Devarim, "Bezachato es kol haderech asher halicha Hashem elkecho ze arboim shona b'mibor." You've got to constantly recall what Hashem did for you and the miracles He did for you over the 40 years of our wanderings in the midbar. But yechlecho es amon that He gave you food to eat, which was the mon, smasechol abaloso, and your clothes didn't deteriorate and turn to shmatas. And how do you learn this out from a Kal V'Chomer? What's the Kal V'Chomer? If throughout the generations we are obliged to remember the Chasodim that Hashem Yisborach did for our forefathers, Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, and the Dor HaMidbar, etc. Kol Shekin to call Echad Miyisrael, then a Kol Shekin for every single Yid, Chayim Lezocher HaChasodim Sha'oise Tomid Im Klal Yisrael. You've got to remember all the chasodim that Hashem has done Tomid for Klal Yisrael. Not back in the misty past, but in our times as well. And from the people who tried to destroy us and were unsuccessful, Hitler Yamach Shemoy and all today's anti-Semites. Think of the BBC. The Kain Chayev called Odom Lazachas Achasadim Shagom Lashem Ezbarach Miyom Avaladoi. And every individual one of us is Mechuv to think of the miracles and the chesed that Hashem has done for us from the moment of our birth. So that you are humble in front of Hashem Ezbarach and you give Hakaras HaTov for everything that's done in your life. That's what it's saying. So there's a comma missing there. It doesn't mean big miracles. I mean, everything is a miracle, and we know that. But still, a significant miracle. You remember, of course, that in miracle, the Sephardim says, when Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock, then he's supposed to speak with Aaron. They're supposed to speak, that means they're supposed to learn a Mishnah in front of the rock. And what is supposed to happen to the rock? You know? Sounds an obvious question. So according to the Sephardim, that you see, he says the three madrigas of Nes. Nes Nister, and that's really the ones that we were talking about before, a Nes Nister, a hidden miracle, is something that, let's say, somebody's sick, and we daven, and he gets better. You don't see it. You don't see the process. It's a hidden miracle. But, of course, as we were saying before, you breathe, blood goes through your veins, etc. Somebody was sick, they get better. You know, you get better. A Nes Nigla is the next Madriga. A Nes Nigla, which is Bederach HaTeva. A Nes Nigla Bederach HaTeva. It's an open miracle. However, it's mimicking a natural phenomenon. Things that happen in nature. For example, Klal Yisrael, as we know, 40 years in the Midbar. Wherever they go, there is a Be'er that follows them wherever they go, and they've got water to drink, Gebaldik. Moitu, let's pretend, instead of being a Be'er that follows them, let's modify the miracle, just for illustration purposes, and make it a river. So wherever they go, if they turn, you know, go 20 miles that way, the river follows them, so they can, the stream follows them, they can drink. If they turn right, the river follows them there. If they turn left, fine. Now, would that be an open miracle? Well, as much of an open miracle as the Be'er, I suppose. However, that's a phenomenon that does occur in nature. Rivers do change their courses. It usually takes hundreds of years for a river to change its course, and you can find the residue of the previous direction, the previous trench of the river. It's called a spur, by the side of the river. That's where it used to go that way, and now the river has forced itself that way. So here is an open miracle, but it's mimicking, if you like, a natural phenomenon. With me? So therefore, that's a nigla shibiderekatim. Says the Sephorno, there's a third type of miracle, and that is a nes nigla shalobiderekatim. An open miracle which there is no parallel in nature for at all. And he says, and when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to learn Torah in front of the rock, then that space in, use my hat for illustrative purposes, that space, make that the rock, that space, or that area covered by the rock, is now going to be almost like a cutout. It's almost, you cut scissors around it. It's a hole in space with water pouring out of it. Well, that's a nice thing, but you don't find a big hole in the air, in the middle of, you know, the street, in the air, in the street, yes, with water coming out of it. That's impossible. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to do. So why didn't he do it? And the answer is, because from the moment of the instruction to go and do a miracle at the highest level, well, see, the rule is the highest level requires you to be at the highest level to deserve a miracle operating at that level. But something happened. Litzonis happened. Yeah, we know you used to be a shepherd in this desert. You know where the rocks are, that are there are little springs underneath them. Yeah, come on, do that rock. Now you get Moshe, hey, do that rock. When they did that, when they mocked him, they mocked the miracle, then he felt that no longer would Hashem perform a miracle at the highest level, anes nigla shalobaderkateva. And that, if that happens, then is that going to make their revolt, which was caused by a lack of water, better or worse? If he speaks to the rock and nothing happens, I'll make it worse. So I'll go for the safer option, I'll hit the rock. That was his motivation for doing so. But you see, in this idea, the idea of an open miracle, you have to be at the highest madriga for a miracle to happen to you. And if you're at the highest madriga, the Gvaldik, it's going to be fine. Otherwise, it's going to be harder to see. You're going to have to get down. So we all know when it comes to miracles, miracles are problematic for Klal Yisrael. The Rambam, which I forgot to take from the shelf, but the Rambam in Yisod Yetzirah in Perik Ches Halacha Aleph says, Moshe Rabbeinu lo hamina bo Yisrael mebnei ha'oshesh oso. Klal Yisrael never believed in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles that he did. Shalmami no peha oisus, because you believe, because through miracles, yesh beliba doifi. I don't know how you translate that, but it basically says you're a fool. Because maybe he did it using bolot fakishuv, using black magic and occult powers. Don't forget, the Mitzrayim were masters of occult power. And at the first miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu, the first couple, they were able to replicate and copy. In fact, the Alkut Shmoni says, when Moshe throws down his stick, as commanded by Hashem, and it turns into a snake, then Paroi says to his Khartoumim, you do it, and they did it. Then he says to his wife, you do it. She threw down her stick, turned into a snake. Then he turned to the teenage boy, says the Midrash, standing watching this, and said, you do it. And they turned them into snakes. Then they brought children from the kindergarten, and they turned sticks into snakes. It therefore was a culture, a society, based completely on Kishuv, Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says Kishuv is only an offspring of Avodah Zarah. Consequently, they could do astonishing things. And where did Moshe Rabbeinu have his chinuch? In Mitzrayim? In Mitzrayim. Oh, you're going to tell me that they couldn't keep up after the first couple, that they couldn't replicate his miracles? I will just argue with you that he was better at their stuff than they were. So maybe, says the Rambam, that miracle too could have been Kishuv. But when did we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? I'll ask the obvious question. When did we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? We believed in Moshe Rabbeinu when we stood at Har Sinai and we heard Hashem speaking to him from on Har Sinai. But if you hear the sounds, or That's natural. But if you see the sound, it's not natural. It's a hint, without going into too much detail, as Chazal say, that Klal Yisrael, each and every one of us, reached the level of Nevi'im and Nevi'ois, and a Novi and a Novi'ah is able to attest to who is a real Novi better than somebody like me who's got no clue about Nevi'ahs. And the highest Madriga, they can say, oh, that's the real deal. That proved Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevi'ahs to us. And then the Ramban says, at the end of Parshas Boy, one of the most famous things the Ramban says, because Hashem Yisbarach doesn't do miracles at the highest level all the time, you have to remember the big miracles, as we just saw. You have to remember the big miracles that He did do for us, because from the big miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that establishes the principle of the small miracles that happen to us every day. And says the Ramban, "Bzeh Yusoid Kol Haturo Kula," and that is the fundamental of the entire Torah, because it's the little ones that happen to us every day. You've got to bear in mind the things and the miracles that happened to you in your life. One of my great teachers was somebody called Rabbi Yonah Balkan from Manchester. Rabbi Yonah Balkan, when I was a young man and I came from Glasgow, I had to catch up, doing a lot of catching up to get in to be Zoicha to bluff my way into Gateshead Yeshiva, which I was Zoicha to be in for 7 years. Rabbi Yonah decided to teach me every single night from 6 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning for a year, to get me up to standard to be able to get into Gateshead Yeshiva. On one condition, he said to me, out of his one eye that could still see, "You must never try and give me anything. Wouldn't take a penny for this." I remember him once saying to me, people sometimes ask me, "Rebbe, don't you have any doubts? Any sfakas?" And he said, "I've seen too much to have any doubts. I've seen too much to have any sfakas, any doubts about my emunah and Hashem Yisbarach. In my life, I've seen too much. And so have you, and so have I. It's just sometimes we forget. And when we have a challenge in our life, we forget about all the times Hashem Yisbarach has done things in our life." So I had a whole list here, but it's only half an hour, so I'm afraid I can't go through them. But in a list, bitten by a lion, didn't lose my left arm. In a plane crash, didn't lose my life. In a car crash, didn't lose my life. Whole load of things. When you see Mamish, when that car crash, that place there, that I always make a pilgrimage to Mabel to make the Brocha, there. The car was a total write-up. That's a whole long story. There are so many miracles that I've seen in my life, I think, that I can say, like Rabbi Yonah, of course I don't have any sacred. But you have to keep the miracles in your life. You have to remember them. Va'al nisecho, comma. And that's when you see the Yad Hashem and the miracles all day long. I wish you a good Shabbos.
Next year will be on Sunday, 20th of August.